Good day. Welcome to the Context Machine. This is episode 586. I'm Brian Chaffin, one of your co-hosts. Yay me.
That's right. Yay you.
Yay.
I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm the other one. And check us out at our new home at contextmachine.io. And good day. That's how you started. Are we like really prim and proper now? Should I have worn a tie or pants?
I would have appreciated the pants, but you know, whatevs. You can also use, by the way, contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can reach us on Twitter at contextmachine.
And hey, just so you know, we're excited because today's show is sponsored by Collide.
It is indeed, and kudos to your ability to edit on the fly. I will tell you more about Collide later in the show. I think I phoned in this script. Semaphored it in.
Do you even have the right episode number in this one?
I do. That is. Did you see the extra word I had in there though? Like, I'm one of your two co-hosts. Like. As in T-O. Anyway, it's a mess.
Oh, yeah. It is straight up a mess. I'd also like to point out Brian loves to say that every episode number is a palindrome. And when it was, he didn't realize.
But it's not a palindrome because numbers can't be palindromes. No,
what was the term? Numeric palindrome?
Did we find that out?
Oh my God, we had a whole discussion about this.
We did, but I don't remember that actually being a thing. That's why I ask.
Yeah, there was a term for it, and I think it was numeric palindrome.
I'm looking this one up right here. Right here, palindromic number.
That's right, palindromic number.
Also known as a numeral palindrome or a numeric palindrome. So I guess you're
Oh, good. So I was still right.
I'm offering you my apology.
I'm so glad I was sitting down. I'm just giving you a hard time. Everyone, Brian is such a nice person in real life, and his whole thing with I accept your apology when you haven't actually apologized, and everyone's like, dude, why do you treat Jeff like that? Mm-hmm. Well, actually, now that I say it, dude, why do you treat Jeff like that?
No, right? It's because I shamelessly steal from Stephen Colbert. That's why.
Well, you know, he's doing the hard work so that we can shine.
Yeah, it's true. Thank you, Stephen. We appreciate that. I'm sure he's a listener.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Maybe if we started speaking Elvish, he'd listen.
I bet he would.
By the way, have I told you about the Instagram account for the guy who knows like way more about the Lord of the Rings than me?
No.
I got to find it. Instagram.
Because clearly it has to go in today's show notes.
Yeah, it does. The guy's great. He does a lot of... Do I follow this guy? He does a lot of very good posts, and I have not found... anything where I want to complain. And if you know me...
if there was a problem, you would have told me about this Instagram account earlier, because it would have started with, Jeff, have I told you about this Instagram account? And it would have followed up with, oh my God, you have to look at this post. I can't believe it. And that hasn't happened. So this guy's clearly nailing it.
He does good stuff. Now, if only I could actually pull... Like they're being, the Instagram is being, I'm going to come back to this.
It's all right. I'm just having this headcanon play happening right now where you're just ranting about how the alternate version of this guy who doesn't get Lord of the Rings just doesn't understand Tom Bombadil and the role he really plays.
Well, that's true. That's, yes. Don't get me started on Faramir and Boromir in the movies. Screw the movies. That's all I'm saying. Okay, I can't.
All right.
So come on, man.
I now have a new card to add to Trello. The episode where I trigger Brian with Lord of the Rings references from the movies. This is going to be great, people.
All right. If something starts playing, I apologize. I'm going to find this guy. He's so good. This is so ridiculous.
This is quality programming right here.
This is absolutely and positively. All right. So what are we actually talking about today?
Well, it turns out we have a Trello card for that.
Did you make one after we decided?
I made it while we were talking so that I'd have something to remember the topics, because I assumed that one or both of us would lose track. So, do you want to talk about your studio display or For All Mankind?
Let's talk about For All Mankind first.
Okay. All right.
So tell us about that show. I've only watched the first couple of episodes, and what's her face's hairstyle is to die for.
There's several what's her faces on the show.
There's only one with the hair. The woman who was what's his face's wife.
Ed's wife.
Ed's Karen? Wife. Ed Karen. Yes, Karen. Her hairstyle in this season is just unbelievably perfect.
You know, they really nailed it. And I mean, if you were around and old enough in the mid 80s to early 90s,
or have watched to TV appreciate
different styles ever. Or yet you can really appreciate the detail they put into things like hairstyles and stuff.
If you have seen an episode of Dynasty or Dallas, you will love this woman's hairstyle. Yeah. It's perfect. It's just perfect.
You will. By the way, everyone, the plan today is to not give you spoilers for season three of For All Mankind. But we are going to be limiting the discussion to the first two episodes just to try and be safe.
Well, we're not even talking about the episodes, really.
Right.
Except but for the we're hair.
Referencing things from those episodes, like Karen's hair.
Like Karen's hair, yes.
Yeah. All right. So what brought us to this this point wasn't actually Karen's hair.
A series of very unfortunate choices lasting decades. Okay. I'm sorry. I see where you were going.
But you're not wrong.
It's so Don Marshall. Don Marshall 72 doesn't have Lord of the Rings in there, but he is the obscure Lord of the Facts guy. Don Marshall 72. I'm sending you, Jeff, the link to his account. Great content. Love it. He's got some current merchandise where he translated pronouns in for Pride Month into Elvish.
Oh, very cool.
Because he can do that. And
that's very cool.
Yeah, the merchandise looks great. It's super cool. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay. So anyhow, all I was really doing was making stuff up to fill time while Brian found the this Instagram account. That's our show. Thanks for joining us this week. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Collide. What happened was I asked Brian if he'd been watching season three of For All Mankind, and then we got into this discussion about the Apple devices that are showing up in the series that would have been contemporary products, for those years. But they have technology that's far more advanced than what they actually had at that time.
And, now, there's one of two reasons for that, right? One is that they screwed it up. Two is that the whole point is that technology has been accelerated by the continued space race between the Soviet Union and the United States because the Soviet Union didn't give up because they actually got to the moon first. That's the entire premise of the show.
Right. And your second hypothesis is actually the correct one. And they've been very clear about this through the plot lines. But then also when you watch the interviews with people that are involved in the production of the show and the actors and the behind the scenes stuff that they do, you know, they make it clear that they're showing their idea of what the technology at that time could have been had everything played out the way it did in For All Mankind.
Yeah, everything passed about like what the three-quarter mark in the first season becomes what could have been when in terms of technology and even culture.
I think that's a safe thing to say.
What might have been. And what, yeah, and which is the thing that I enjoy so much about the show For What That's Worth.
Yeah, same. Yes. Yeah. All right, Brian, the first thing that I noticed in season three with the technology being far beyond what the devices actually were at the time. Mm-hmm. I think it's in the first episode when you go into the NASA director's office and she's being presented with her daily calendar, and one of her assistants is rattling things off. She's holding a message pad in her hand, Newton message pad.
Now, what year is this?
And she's reading everything. That would have been late 80s.
Because the message pad hadn't come out at all yet. In the 80s.
What year did the message pad come out?
I want to see. It was a 90s product for sure because
this season crosses over into the 90s, so it might be early 90s.
I think it's 80s. When it was announced in 93.
When that episode is happening?
It was announced in 93. And this is definitely an 80s season. Okay.
No. This is it starts off in the mid 80s. And very quickly goes into the 90s.
Okay. Well, all right.
And that's not a spoiler, just to be clear.
I mean, many thoughts. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Ask your question or make your statement.
I want you to finish what you were saying because I interrupted.
Okay. So you see this person holding a message pad and she's reading off the schedule and the messages that the NASA director that she needs to hear. And they cut to a shot looking over her shoulder and you actually see the screen. And this looks like an actual message pad.
I was clearly multitasking during this part of the episode because I didn't catch
anything. Oh my God. Holy crap. You had to have been multitasking because this was like a thing where it's like, here's this message pad center screen. And you can see it's the font, the correct font, but it's a color display. And then later on, I can't remember if it's in episode one or if it's in episode two, you see people having like FaceTime chats essentially. And they're doing it with message pads that have a little camera attachment that clicks on the top. So it's a full screen color display with this camera, and they're doing video chats. So seriously, it looks like they're doing FaceTime. And one of the behind the scenes things from that is what they did was I'm assuming they fabricated message pad shells. And they designed them so they could put an iPhone where the display goes. So there's actually an iPhone inside the prop. And when you see the screens, you're looking at an actual iPhone screen. And the video chat stuff that you see, they're using iPhones mounted inside these message pads for that.
Okay. I love and hate this.
Then you're probably not going to are you either going to love and hate the Macs and the Apple IIgs computers that that show up?
The message pad could not have been, I mean, okay, it could not have been released in the 70s. And not because of in the 80s. Not because of the technology to support it, because again, part of the premise here is that there are underlying technology accelerations compared to our reality, right? I get that part. The problem is, from a political standpoint, it's not like Steve Jobs would have brought in Scully several years earlier because Excel, I mean, the message pad could not have come to existence at all, let alone early looking like it does with other technology in it. So that bothers me. Like I love the idea. I love the idea of them taking the products that we know and showing them with enhanced abilities. I get that part. And I like that part, but I'm getting very hung up on the political reality at Apple that made the message pad even come to into existence in the first place.
Interesting. Well, all right. Well, then I'm going to take us down a rabbit hole.
Okay.
Related to that, the whole political aspect. The world political scene in For All Mankind in season three. Also, not spoilers. This is you know how they do the little news clip things that you can watch about what happened between.
Yeah, those are great.
Season one, season two, season two, season three. One of those for between season two, season three, talks about the internet and how governments, instead of doing what actually happened, where it became this open thing, in For All Mankind, it's a thing that's controlled and owned by the governments. So it's like the evolution of ARPANET.
Mm.
And Tim Berners-Lee is a very outspoken activist for opening the internet to be a tool for everyone and not just the governments.
That is, I love that. I also love the Beatles reunion.
Oh my God! Right.
That was.
Yep.
That was fantastic, and plus, especially the way they don't go into the fact that John Lennon wasn't assassinated. He's just there.
Yeah, well, there's references in season two for John Lennon being alive as well.
I forgot about
so that. That was a fun carryover.
Yeah, I love this sort of aspect of the show. The I like the way they are rewriting history. I like it.
I've been enjoying it too. And it's, I mean, and season three, again, not spoilers. This comes from the trailers. I mean, seeing where space travel has advanced to in the late 80s into the mid 90s is really cool. And the acceleration of technologies, like one of the main premises of the, of season three is that you have a three-way race to get to Mars first. You have NASA and so the United States, and then you have the Soviet Union, and then you have a private company. And all three are racing to complete their projects and launch to the or to Mars and be the first to land on Mars.
Interesting.
And one of the things that they've done by this point is is figure out how to move from fission nuclear power to fusion nuclear power, which is much cleaner, and that has to do with finding mass deposits of helium-3 on the moon and working with private companies to mine it and bring it back to Earth so that they can process it and turn it into fuels that we're using here.
Good. That's good stuff. Can I get back to the Apple thing now?
Oh, sure. Whatevs.
I know. Apple form factors in any given era are predicated at least in part on available technologies at that time. Through, you know, or putting that another way, products. So having the same familiar form factors to our timeline exist with additional features is in some ways pandering. They should have different form factors. Even if it's an Apple product, it should look different. If it's going to be an iPhone, even if it's a, like a sort of a dumbed down iPhone interface that they're using in the late 80s for some kind of video meeting and taking notes and stuff, was she using a stylus? She was, wasn't she?
Oh yeah.
So if they're going to do that, then it should be a different form factor with an Apple logo on it, with the rainbow Apple logo on it at that.
Oh, and the Apple logos you see are definitely rainbow.
What, great, love it. Do you see my point though?
I totally get your point, and while I agree, I also can appreciate why, for the sake of the story, they're using form factors that we already know about, because then it makes it much easier for the viewer to grasp what it is that they're seeing. It's like,
hence my pandering charge.
This is, I totally get it.
That said, I love the amount of research they're throwing in to make all of these things, not just the Apple stuff, but all of these things possible.
Oh yeah. It's wonderful. One thing that we still haven't seen, is what cell phones would look like in the 1990s, because we've already established that some sort of wireless telephone technology was available in that timeline, in the 1980s.
First mobile phones in a car were in the 70s.
Right. But what I mean is technology for mobile phones that's happening much earlier for the form factors that we get than it happened in reality.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Let me tell you all about the Collide. How do you feel about that?
I think that's awesome. And I believe that is not pandering. Tell me about Collide, Brian.
Absolutely. Well, the thing is that Collide sends employees important, timely, and relevant security recommendations for their Linux, Mac, and Windows devices, and they do it all right inside Slack. Collide is perfect for organizations that care deeply about compliance and security, but don't want to get there by locking down devices to the point where they can become unusable. Instead of frustrating your employees, Collide educates them about security and device management while directing them to fix important problems. You can visit collide.com/ACM to sign up today. That's KOLIDE.com/ACM. Enter your email address when prompted to receive your free Collide gift bundle after trial activation. At Collide, they know end users are IT admins' most significant untapped resource and key to solving the most challenging to fix security issues, including, got three examples for you, instruction, instructing developers to set passphrases on unencrypted SSH keys, finding plain text two-factor backup codes, and teaching end users how to store them securely, convincing employees to uninstall evil browser extensions that may sell their browser history. These are just some of the many use cases not solved by locking down devices. You can try Collide with all its features on an unlimited number of devices for free for 14 days with no credit card required. And you can do it at collide.com/ACM. Once again, that's Collide, KOLIDE.com/ACM. We want to thank them very much for sponsoring this week's episode.
All right. Now, I want to hear about your display, Brian. You've had Apple Studio Display for 3 months now.
Yeah. 3 months.
And so is that right? I figure, it sounds about right.
I either got it in
April,
May, June, 2 months. 2 months.
Oh, whatever.
That makes a lot more sense.
Okay. So anyhow, you've had it for 2 months. And if you keep counting and it's like, actually, it hasn't arrived yet, then we have to make up another topic. But
I do have a second one that I haven't set up yet. And I've had that for like 10 days. Oh, my God,
Brian.
I haven't had time.
There are people listening to the show right now that are like, how can you get something so amazing and not set it up?
Agreed. It's actually criminal.
It kind of is, yeah. We might have to stage an intervention to get you to set up these.
I'll have it set up before the next product. The next episode. Several things about this episode. This display. One is that it turns out it's gorgeous, but we knew that already. Mm-hmm. Two is, as much as I wish that I had talked to you about whether or not to get the stand and hinge, so that you could have said, dude, get the arm.
Like a Visa mount arm.
Yeah, get the Visa mount. I wish that I had done that, in part just to have the lack of a desk footprint, right? Mm-hmm. Which is great. But as much as that is the case, the hinge is in fact amazing.
Okay, cool.
I mean, you know, you kind of expect Apple to get its hinges and stands right, especially when they're charging an arm and a leg for them. It is
right.
So easy to pivot and tilt and lift up and down this display. It is so incredibly
easy. And then the display stays in place, right?
And it just stays in place. Yeah, that
very
it,
cool.
It is expensive as can be. I do wish I had a Visa mount with an arm that clips on to the back or mounts onto the back of my desk. I do wish I had that. I don't. The very expensive hinge that I got is fantastic. And I do find myself adjusting my display at times. So it's not like I set it once and then I never do it again. There are times when I need to adjust it.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so I just want some clarification there. When you're adjusting it, is it because the display is no longer in the right position or because you need to move it to a different position for what you're doing?
Yeah, it might be because I need to or I want to change the height of my camera, right? Or it might be because I'm simply sitting at a different angle. I'm slouching in my chair or I'm not slouching in my chair or because I've got my window blinds open. And so I want to, you know, change the direction of potential glare. Right. But there are definitely times when I find myself adjusting it.
Okay. But you brought up the camera. The software update is out that fixes the camera, Apple says. So, is it better?
I ran a firmware update and this camera is not better. It's not better. It's not even a little bit better. It's not even. I mean, like it. The camera. I'm gonna open up photo booth right now. Photo.
Make sure there aren't fingerprints on the camera.
It's just foul. I look like I am in a glamour photography studio, dipped in foundation with Vaseline smeared across the lens.
This is one of the most awesome 80s references I have heard in a long time.
I'm shooting you a screenshot right now. Right this very.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see it.
Very second. Look at that. Blow that up. Look at that. What is that?
Actually, that looks very disappointing.
Is my description accurate?
Yeah, it almost looks like if you were to like compress very badly a JPEG image, where you know it just throws out way too much information, and you get this kind of flat, blurry.
Yeah, the microphone looks okay. Look at the microphone. It looks fine.
Actually, yeah, when I look at your microphone, I can see detail in the body on the microphone. You should clean your microphone off. Just saying. I mean, your microphone is so clean, Brian. It's amazing.
I sent you a second image. By the way, this is a low light situation for both of these images. The second image that I sent you is from my multiple year old Logitech 4K webcam.
And this image looks so much better.
It's not even close.
In this one, there's so much detail in your hair. In the image from Apple's camera in the studio display, I mean, there are areas in your hair where it's just color. There is no detail at all.
Yeah, it's crazy how bad this camera is, especially on a display this expensive. It's actually crazy. I know that I ran a firmware update. I don't know if there was something else I was supposed to do that I missed, and I don't have any firmware updates sitting here.
From what I understand, all you needed to do was run the firmware update. Yeah. That was it.
I'm wondering, you know what? I need to set up that other one, which was made later. See if there's a difference in the cameras.
Oh, yeah. That would be really interesting to see.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, looking at the cameras, I can see that if you're buying this display for the camera, you're going to be very disappointed.
I mean, this is a display you buy for the display. It's way worse than the crappy 720p cameras that it was ridiculous how long Apple shipped. It still ships, I should say, in some cases. I think there's still a 720 camera, a 720p camera on some current Macs. But it's like when filters go bad.
Yeah, it's surprisingly disappointing. Yeah. All right. Well, the other thing you mentioned was adjusting your display for glare.
Yeah.
Did you get the nano texture version of the display?
No, I didn't. I don't have the kind of, I mean, I my current place, I definitely don't have the kind of lighting where I was going to be worried about that. So, I didn't want any potential. Anyway, tell us about the nano texture glass. I think we should start there.
Okay, sure. There's probably some people that don't get why that's different from other anti-glare coatings. All right. So first, Apple's nano texture glass. This is not a coating, a film of any kind that's put on the glass. This is actually etched into the display's glass. So there's a problem that you have with anti-glare coatings and map monitors in general, which is that they tend to diffuse the light coming out of the display in such a way that your image isn't quite as sharp. And then in many cases, it will even change the color of what you're looking at. So if you're doing something where color accuracy is critical, that could be a problem. So what Apple is doing with their nanotexture glass is they're using a process where it actually etches, I guess, little pits essentially into the glass and they call it nanotexture because it's like at the nanometer level. And so because they're doing that, the way they're doing that, it preserves your color that you're getting. It preserves the color that you're expecting to see from the display. There we go. And then the issue with the images becoming less sharp, that goes away as well. And then it also, of course, helps prevent the reflections and the glare issues that you get. So it's a better way to have an anti-glare protection on your display than many of the other options that are out there. So my feeling is, if you're in a situation where you're going to have to deal with glare a lot, then the nanotexture version is probably worth the extra money, because you know that's a big slab of glass, and to have and have all of these bright spots from lights around you on the display all the time would be hard on your eyes and very distracting.
Yeah, my lighting here definitely. That's so I have had used the 5K iMac for years. And was comfortable having the shiny, reflective, glossy display. My lighting here, it works fine for me. I was also worried. I was worried that there might possibly be some the degradation of
seeing it
image, that it might interfere with how things look. And I was already buying the expensive arm. I didn't want to buy the expensive glass too.
Right. And you could have bought a Visa mount and the expensive glass. Anyhow, I'm still not going to rip that.
Yeah, and still spent less. That's fair.
Yeah.
Would you get the nano glass?
Nano texture? I would get the nano glass. Yes.
Okay.
And that's because for me, even though I tend to have very controlled lighting in my workspace all the time, I want to minimize the glare as much as possible. And even though it's not that big of a deal for the way my setup is, it would still be a thing. Like, for example, when I'm doing video podcasts, my back wall is lit. Without the nano texture,
I
would have this line of light across my
Are you ignoring me?
I'm totally ignoring you. Yeah, that's for the best. It is so lit.
It's for the best.
Yeah, I don't want to encourage you, but anyhow, and so for me, yes, I would definitely have the nano texture. It's worth $300. And then I wouldn't be getting the upgraded stand for it, because I'd put mine on my Visa mount. That's the upgrade that I would get on the display. I'm sorry, I just keep rubbing it in.
Yeah, you're so like I am obnoxious and sort of like belligerent in my obnoxiousness. And you are so smooth and nice in your passive aggression. I can be passive aggressive too, but you slip in so it's like, you know, I don't even notice it going in.
What, well, you know, that's high
I'm praise. Referring to a knife. I'm referring to a knife.
Oh. Still, I'll take that as high praise.
Yeah.
If I didn't love you, I wouldn't even consider these jabs. I mean, you weren't with the knife thing, so no,
of course.
Yeah.
LOL. So when last I was paying attention, you would have gotten the nano texture glass.
I would. Now who has the knife?
Stick him with the pointy end.
Yeah. See, this is why we had to team up again for a show.
Yes.
This right here.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. For me, the nano glass would have been worth the extra $300. And then I would have ranted about how disappointed I am about the camera.
I'm wondering if I made myself a victim of people fudding the nano texture before it was released.
Maybe. And it's not like Apple didn't have the nano texture as an option before, because this is a thing that they had available for the
Pro Studio, the
other studio display,
XLS,
and I
KM,
and
KMF's gonna get you.
Well, you could get it on the iMac, and
could you?
And now I'm trying to remember. You could get.
I probably should have gone into an Apple store.
A nano glass iMac. Probably, yeah, you probably should have. That's
probably what I should have done before.
And I'm not saying that in a backstabby way. It's like, yeah, I mean, they have the stuff there. Take advantage of it. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that you can even get the nano glass on Apple laptops, at least some of them.
Huh. Okay. Fair enough.
So,
fair.
So this wasn't new. And the FUD that I saw was all based on people assuming that the nano texture was no different from the coatings and films that you see used for creating a matte display on other computers and displays.
Yeah, I also probably should have discussed all of this with you, really. I mean, you are seriously certainly the best color expert that I know. But you also know more about displays than anyone else I know. So I really should have discussed all of this with you before I bought these things.
Well, in your defense, it's really cool technology. And how could you not just be like, I can buy this now? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so there's that.
There is that.
Okay. So then since I'm guessing there's other people that are listening to the show
I don't know about that. Oh, I'm sorry. You weren't finished. Go ahead.
who knows? Maybe I am. I'm assuming that there are some people that are right now using you as their proxy to ask their display questions. So I will give you the answer to the question that I'm assuming some people are asking, which is, if I were to buy an Apple Studio, one of these new Apple Studio displays today, what configuration would you get? And for me, it would be the version with the Visa mount. Mm-hmm. And the nano texture glass, and that's it. I wouldn't get any of the other add-ons that come with the display.
Fair enough. Two things.
Mm-hmm.
One is I will add that the speakers are definitely the best display speakers I've used. They're no substitute for great speakers. For like, you know,
okay,
some great desktop speakers that are standalone, obviously. But it's ridiculous how good they sound for this form factor. I don't know Apple does that sort of thing. But still no substitute whatsoever for having a proper set of speakers.
And that's one of the places where, I would turn to you for your opinion,
because oh, that's sweet.
I mean, we're both really into the audio, but I think that when it comes to actually listening to the different speakers and being able to pick out what are the high points of a particular speaker and what are its deficits, you're a really good person to turn to for that.
Thanks. The other thing, did you have a question about the sound?
I do. And well, it's more of a request. I would love to hear what you think of the speakers when you have both displays set up and you're using the full set of speakers across both displays at the same time, if that improves the audio at all.
Well, does it do that, first of all?
Yeah, you could do that.
Okay, great. I won't be... So my setup will be to have a display in front of me and then one offset to the right. The second one offset to the right. I won't be sitting in the middle between the two of them.
Okay. Well, I'm still interested in hearing how the audio sounds, because my guess is that for a lot of people that would be in a situation where they're using two of these, it would probably be like that, where they don't have the bar of the bezel right down the middle in front of them. One of the displays is offset.
Yeah. Well, so, right.
Yeah. I'm still interested.
So yeah. To that effect, I should have already had this thing set up just so I could, report on it. But here's my second question. I think a few minutes ago, I said there were two questions. This whole topic was sparked by someone, asking a question about the nanotexture glass.
Right. Hi, Terry. Thanks for giving us the seed for this discussion.
Yeah, and we were worried that it wouldn't be a full topic. The thing is, have you actually answered all of his questions?
Hold on. Let me look at the rest of the messages. Let's see. Yes, I did. And it turns out one of his questions was, did Brian go for the nano display? Ah. And so Terry, the answer is no, he did not.
I did not. I'm thinking I really should have
gotten
to it.
This is so meta because he knows that I could answer him in the text message. And yet I had already told him, you'll have to listen to today's episode. So am I being the jerk because I'm not actually replying to his text message and he has to listen to the show?
Listen, you are like the podcasting equivalent of Joss Whedon. You give the people what they need, not necessarily what they want.
All right. That's awesome.
Here's the thing. You've met me, right? So you know that I'm not averse to spending money if I have the opportunity to spend that money.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? This checks out, doesn't it?
This checks out, sure. And you have some really cool things to show for it.
Sure. Let's go with that. You also know that I am not averse to getting the best technology that I can, whether or not I need it. Is this correct? Does this also check out?
Yeah, this also checks out.
Okay. For instance, I got the beautiful hinge. Probably would have been just fine getting just a little pivot. Anyway, so I did not get the nanotexture glass because I read some FUD. And I wish to heck that A, I'd talked to you about this, and B, that I'd gone to the Apple store and looked, because if it's better, now I'm like all mad at myself for not getting the better thing.
I appreciate you're being mad with yourself. However, keep in mind, you bought really beautiful displays. And for your setup, the fact that you don't have the nanotechnology display or nanotexture display is not going to be a big problem. Because you have a lot of control over the lighting in your office. So you're going to be okay.
I do. A friend of mine, I can't remember if I told you this. I think I've told you this. I'm not sure if I've said this, like, you know, to the world. But a friend has been very impressed with the number of lamps that I've been able to accumulate for my office that don't actually do anything to light up the room.
Yeah. I'm laughing only because you have shared with me photos, I think, of every one of these lamps, and they're all epic. and I can appreciate that your office still has crappy lighting.
it's not very well lit. So I'm trying to get some overhead lighting. There's this very, very nice ceiling fan that was here, you know, that comes with the house, but it doesn't have despite it being a great ceiling fan, does not have a light on it. There's electricity. Anyway, that's my next thing. I gotta replace that ceiling fan. I gotta add a light to it, because apparently you can do that with this thing. So anyway, yeah, oh, cool. Lighting. And then maybe then I will wish I had the nanotexture glass.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So, you know,
you might.
All right. Let me. Okay. Before I say anything else, say that, and then I will say also that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us over at contextmachine.io. You can reach me personally on Twitter at GeekTales and Instagram too.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Jay Gamet on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Yep.
And also, I'm sitting here looking at a display. It's mounted on a Visa mount on a display arm.
Just our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. Paces by Boom. Recorded for us. Appreciate that. Actually, it's funny. Ricky recorded that for himself, but, you know, whatevs. And we want to thank Collide for sponsoring this particular episode. And as a reminder, you can visit collide.com/ACM to sign up today. It's KOLIDE.com/ACM. Enter your email when you're prompted, and you're going to get your free Collide gift bundle after the trial activation. And I think that's it. Got anything else for us?
Just a hug for you.
Oh, thanks, fam. All right. Well, I've got some music to hug us both.
Sweet.